In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today on this fine Thursday. Got a lot in store for you today. Steve House will be joining us here during this first hour. And fortunately, I'm here today. I had jury duty earlier today, which I was telling Charlie about before coming on air. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later in the show. And especially when it comes to Kevin Flesh, one of our great sponsors, I will tell you that after being in the courtroom most of the morning, just as they did jury selection and so on for a particular case in Jefferson County, that having a really good attorney makes all the difference in the world. I'll talk a little more about the process later, but why does everything in a courtroom take so stinking long? Looks to me like you could get a lot more done a lot faster if they'd figure out how to speed things up. But, you know, that's government. So if the private sector ran the courts, which you probably don't want anyways, but if the private sector ran the courts, it would be a lot different. You'd have a lot more trials, results, and things moving forward faster. Yesterday's impossible question, what is the number one driving pet peeve? The answer was don't use a turn signal when driving. The top website answer was driving slow in the left lane. That's my pet peeve. I can handle the turn signal thing. Just get out of the way. Get out of the left lane. I don't care if you use the turn signal or not. Just get out of the left lane. Today's impossible question. 17%, and I'll give you a hint. Charlie and I, this doesn't apply to us. So 17% of the 45 million Americans who have one of these wish they didn't. What is it? So 17% of the 45 million Americans that have one of these, which, by the way, this is probably more than 10% of all adults. If you think about 350 million people roughly in America, and you take out, you know, the elderly and the kids under the age of 18, this is about, you know, over probably 10% of adults who have one of these wish they didn't. Charlie? I do not have one. You do not have one. Neither one of us have this. So we have no regrets because we don't have it in the first place. But 45 million others of us do. That's your hint. Charlie and I don't have this. I'm not going to give Charlie the answer Charlie just gave me, but he is correct. Charlie is right. So answer that on the RushToReason.com website. And for those of you, and I'll try not to be super harsh here, but most of you know my feelings on the Asian companies and what they build and what they do and so on. And I think most of you also know by now that there's no love lost there between me and them. Now, do the Asians build some nice things? Sure. Yeah, they do. Nice cars, computers, electronics, things like that. Yeah, a lot of what we have comes from Asian countries. I get that. In this particular case, I don't know who to blame, although Toyota is still owned by a Japanese company and a Japanese CEO and Japanese management, even though a lot of their products are made in America. In fact, in a lot of cases, I'll give them credit. There's more of that vehicle that's made from parts even from America than some of its competitors, Ford, GM, Stellantis, and so on. But to prove my point that the Asians can't invent anything, because I've said that numerous times, they don't. They don't invent anything. They copy, they recreate, they take something else, redo it, voila, there it is. And to prove my point, If you have not seen pictures of the new 2022 GMC Tundra, no, it's a Toyota Tundra, I know, but it looks like a GMC Tundra, proving my point, the Asians don't invent anything. Toyota, you should be ashamed of yourself for putting out a product that looks this close to one of your competitors. Now, I realize that you don't sell more than about 250,000 Tundras a year, while, you know, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler together are, you know, Dodge, I should say, Ram. I make sure I say it correctly, Ram. You know, together those three are probably selling annually in the U.S. about 2.5 million pickups, probably. I'm probably not far off on that. And again, the number of Tundras is about 250,000, not 2.5 million. I mean, I get that it's a very small niche market when it comes to selling the Tundra, but come on, Toyota. You can't build something other than a GMC. You really had to go down that path and just take what somebody else had, redesign it a little bit, and then put it out in the marketplace? I don't get it. I really thought higher of Toyota in that regard, but you know, Toyota's a safe car to own. Not a lot of pizzazz. Yeah, they've got a Supra, but it's a BMW. It's not even their car. Oh, they have a BRZ. Oh, that's not a Toyota either. That's a Subaru. Get where I'm going with this, folks? Toyota is a safe car to own. Yeah, it is. It's a safe car. It's a safe bet. But there's no real frills or thrills or anything like that when it comes to owning a Toyota. And am I bashing Toyota a little bit? If you like them, great. It, you know, more power to you. There's a reason I don't own a Tacoma and I own a Colorado Chevy diesel instead. Why? Because the Tacoma is a gutless wonder and has no power whatsoever. I want something with power. I want something I can run up the hill at 75 miles an hour. You can barely do that in a Tacoma. So again, does Toyota build a great product? Yes, they do. It's reliable. It's sort of a staple now in the marketplace. Number one automaker in the world. But they don't invent anything. They copy what everybody else has and or what they currently have in inventory and put it out to market. There's not a lot of innovation on the Toyota end of things. And those of you that disagree with me, feel free to call in. Feel free to email me. I'll discuss this all day long, but there's not. One other case in point with Toyota is go look at their crappy navigation / audio system in their cars. It's honestly, guys, it's junk compared to what everybody else has to offer. It is light years behind what everybody else has. And you would think being an Asian company, when it comes to that end of technology, they would be light years ahead when it comes to their nav and audio system and so on, even the sound quality coming out of the speakers. There's American companies that far surpass what they have in that area. And most of the German companies by far have better product in that area than they do. All right, done bashing Toyota. It just really irritates me when I see a company like that basically rip off another company, put that into a truck, release it as the new Tundra, and somehow that's supposed to be press worthy. And there's dumb enough press agencies out there to give them that press and celebrate it. I'm not one of them, by the way. So Steve House will join us in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about COVID and a lot of the nonsense going on there. You can tell I'm in a really good mood today. Maybe because I went to jury duty the first thing this morning, and it's just... When I woke up this morning, I had a stomachache. Why did I have a stomachache? Because I knew how much time I would waste sitting in a courtroom, most likely being dismissed because of what I believe in and who I am and what I do here daily, and realizing that this is just going to be a wasted day. So I'm probably not in the best of mood because of that, but I'm here. We'll make the best of it. We'll have a good time on the show today. Affordable Interest Mortgage is up next. Kurt Rogers. And Kurt would love to help you out with all of your mortgage needs, whatever they are. He's your guy. I mean that sincerely. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking for some advice, give Kurt a call. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. Anything you need when it comes to your electrical, radiant heat in your house. So all the HVAC, including radiant heat and electrical, they can handle all of it. They have got fabulous reviews on Google. Just go check them out. And they're most importantly, they want you to have peace of mind. Ask about their whole system install and the discount that's on it. AC install, I should say, and just get everything tuned up and ready to go. I know it's July. Winter's not that far away. I hate to say that. 720-526-0231 or klzradio.com.
Call for an AC estimate? Get only an AC estimate. Anytime an HVAC technician tries to upsell you during your estimate, that's not a technician. That's a salesperson. You watch. Later on, a completely different person will come over to install your unit. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will not send a salesperson to your house. Your first appointment will be with the technician who installs the unit. Their goal is to give you the service you called for, not convince you to spend more money. The entire team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air meets for training every Tuesday, and they hear the same message each week. Their job is to make the customer's home more comfortable. You called because you wanted cooler, cleaner air in your house. So that's what you'll get. Your Absolute Electrical Heating and Air technician will give you three pricing options for the only service you requested: air conditioning. Call 720-526-0231 now and get what you called for.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Summer's here and car shows are back. Join John Rush and the Drive Radio crew as they broadcast live from the 20th annual Red Lion Run Car Show on Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Leprino Foods parking lot located on the corners of 38th Avenue and Quivis Street in Denver. All proceeds go to Food for Thought Denver. The Red Lion Run Car Show is brought to you by Group Insurance Analysts and the Italians of America. For more info, go to drive-radio.com.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Steve House joining us here in just one second. Craig from Wheat Ridge, though, called in on the front side of that. Craig, how are you doing today, sir?
All right, John. I was at the car wash, just turned on the radio while I'm wiping it down here and heard what you were saying about Toyota. And I've got a prime example of what you're talking about.
Let's hear it. And real quick, by the way, and I had somebody text me, Toyota builds a good car. It's just nothing sexy, glamorous, anything along those. It's a good, safe, reliable car, but to me, that's where it ends.
Okay, sexy, glamorous might be the Toyota Supra. They reintroduced
the
Supra.
Yeah, but that's a BMW. You can't count that.
This is what I'm saying. When that car was built in the 80s, the Turbo, that was one of the hottest imports you could buy.
Agree.
So they just reintroduced it. Now, the styling may have come out of Japan, but all the engineering came out of Germany.
That's
now, why
correct.
Is that?
It is a BMW.
Yes, it is. It comes off the same assembly line as the Z4.
That's right. That is correct.
So you know, it may look Japanese on the outside, but you're going to get inside and it's going to feel awfully German.
Well, and the BRZ is whatever they call it. Now, I don't know what they call it anymore. The BRZ is Subaru's version of their little sporty two-seater, and I can't remember what they call the Toyota. Now, if somebody's listening, they can text me and tell me. I don't remember what it's called. But same situation there, that Subaru is the one that made it.
Well, it was a Scion FRS, and then it became the Toyota A86.
Is it an 86? I can't remember, Craig. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's an 86 is what they call it. I mean, you know, come on, these number designations. I mean, it's just, I don't even like that, you know, the names are coming up for the, it's just numbers and letters, and you're like, what is that? It has no personality.
You know my feelings.
Oh, and on the topic of what you were talking about the other day with these big trucks, and I'm experiencing it a lot, and it's not so much out on the highway east of town, but coming through town, the big trucks in the left lane.
It's getting worse every day, Craig. It really is.
It is.
I mean,
these guys, and they won't move over.
No.
And I got behind a couple people coming in from Bennett coming into town, and the person in the right lane was doing 70, so I attempt to pass in the left lane 75, and then the guy that was behind him jumped in front of me, and he put his evidently his cruise at 75, and those two people drove side by side for 10 miles.
Jeez.
Wouldn't allow anybody to pass.
Jeez. Yeah, that's not the way it's supposed to work, and I have seen people get pulled over for doing so, and frankly, thank you, officers, for doing so.
Well, unfortunately, if you look out there, there's very little road signage indicating.
I know, to get over.
Keep right.
I know.
Keep right, except the pass.
I know.
And if it's not posted, these people don't know it. Evidently, they forgot it in all of their driver training.
I'll leave it at that. Craig, thanks as always. Good talking to you. Spot on. Steve House joining us now. Mr. House, how are you today?
I'm good. Actually, you guys were making me think about, you know, great name for a car, and a car I'd love to own is the Whispering Ghost, which was the original Rolls.
Yes.
And when you look at that Rolls Royce made out of silver or stainless steel or whatever, that car was not only beautiful, it probably weighed five times as much as a car today, but that was an amazing vehicle.
Yes, agree. And they still build some very fabulous vehicles today. Granted, they're very expensive, but they built some very nice vehicles.
Yeah, that car was, the original marketing on that car was you could put a cup of tea on it, and you could put it to maximum RPM sitting still, and the tea wouldn't spill. That's just amazing.
Yep, sure is. All right, we got a lot to talk about. Always a lot to talk about when you're on. And I wanted to play something for you to sort of get this kicked off, if you would. And I'm sure you've already heard this clip. Maybe not. I don't know whether you've heard this or not. But let me get this queued up here. Charlie, hang on. I got to plug my mic. Sorry, I was listening to this earlier to make sure that it would actually play. We had some issues, everyone, yesterday where we had a little, and we don't know. It could have been Twitter not allowing us to play certain things. I mean, in this day and age, you just never know. And this is kind of going to prove my point here with the clip I'm going to play. So this is Jen Psaki, and I believe this was earlier today, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, but here we go. I'll play it.
With these social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff, but also members of our COVID-19 team. Given, as Dr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there. We also created the COVID community core to get factual information into the hands of local messengers.
All right, I'll leave it at that. Steve, is this the proper role of government?
Absolutely not, especially since that it's against the law to have an EUA, emergency use authorization, on a drug and have people promote it as being safe. You're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say anything about whether it's safe or not while it's under EUA. It has to be under and approved by the FDA before you can declare it safe. So they're violating their own laws, first of all. And secondly, it's not the role of government, especially since we know what they're going to do. They're going to monitor your text messages, and if you're texting information they don't like, they're going to intervene. And you know what? I don't think they're going to get to the point, hopefully, where, you know, they're forcing people to put out messages contradicting themselves or forcing them to take vaccines. But this is another in a war with the American people that's escalating very rapidly.
Yeah, when Richard sent me this earlier this morning, as you know, I was in jury duty this morning, and as Richard sent me this morning, my initial comment back was, this is what the North Koreans, Chinese, and Russians do to their people, and I guess even the Cubans, I could say that as well. This is what happens in those countries, not the United States of America.
Well, yeah, you know what they do in China, right? They have a game system, a scoring system. So as a citizen, you get a score
based on your social score.
Right, a social score, and they've been using that for a while now. I mean, if we're going to go to that route, and I think that we're not far away from it, I don't think the government under Biden is afraid of anything at this point.
No, Steve, I agree with everything you're saying. I think you're spot on, and we have got to push back and resist this. And anytime I hear something like this, I just think to myself, A, like you said, this is a huge overstep of their powers, and number two, some of this stuff, and you and I talk about it on a regular basis, we're going to talk about it today some of this is very subjective. In other words, the jury is still out in a lot of these areas where, you know, Jen Psaki and the like will tell you flat out, this is a fact, when in fact it's not.
It is absolutely not a fact. And the fact that there's so much coordination, I mean, this is like anything else, right? I mean, eventually if there's a crime committed and a whole bunch of people know the crime is being committed, people start to talk about it, and we're seeing so much, whether it's Gavi and the, you know, the vaccine guys who set up incentives 10 years ago so that, you know, doctors would get paid $500 extra dollars if a two-year-old had gotten all 10 of the vaccines they wanted, trying to incentivize adults with vaccines, you know, pushing beyond the rules of EUAs. I mean, and then trying to wedge out all the treatments for COVID that exists from, you know, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and some of the rational antivirals. I mean, there's so many ways to solve this, and they're trying to kill it all in favor of control. And that's the only thing I think it can be, John, is right. They're trying to control us completely.
You and I have talked back and forth quite a bit this last, you know, couple of weeks on this very subject, and I agree with you. I just don't see any other bottom line to this other than this is a huge control factor being pushed out by the powers that be. And in this case, that's the White House and the folks that are on the far left. And Steve, I'm just confused as to why we as a populace have given them this much power and why we haven't resisted before now. There's still very little resistance out there.
Yeah, I know. And this was a very big topic of conversation over the weekend because I was actually in a spiritual setting, talking to some folks who are just, you know, good Christians like I am. And, you know, everybody came back with sort of the same conclusion, which is we're trying to be told not to fight because fighting is politically incorrect. So you take away, in the Christian sense, you take away Onward Christian Soldier, you take away Battle Hymn of the Republic. You don't sing those songs anymore because they're an implication that there's evil in the world and you have to fight it. What you're really supposed to do is be quiet and go along and not rock the boat. And, you know, we've got, you know, people who are fact-checking us who are clearly biased in what they're doing. It's time to fight. It's long past time to fight.
I agree.
And if we don't do it, we're going to get stuff that we never even dreamed yet.
When did it become, because I don't know the answer to this, Steve, when did it become acceptable in, you know, Christian circles and conservative circles to, you know, literally, you know, stop fighting for fear that we would be labeled some sort of a, you know, whack job or, you know, somebody that's way out there on their beliefs or what have you, when in fact, you know, I can go all the way back in time, even to when Christ walked this earth, and there wasn't anything about Jesus Christ himself that wasn't polarizing. He was, at the time, the most polarizing individual on the planet, and in a lot of ways started the ruckus itself. He did that in the temple. There was nothing mealy-mouthed about this guy whatsoever, and yet as a church, we're the opposite of that today.
I know, and it's the political correctness comes in all forms, right? So some of it is, you know, if a few people ostracize you from society because, you know, you're talking the talk that you should be talking, and saying, look, you know, critical race theory can't be taught in our schools. It's wrong. It's improper. It's not historically correct. You know, I think there's only two genders, two as far as I know. If you think you are not a man and you were born a man, I don't have a problem with that. But don't tell me that there's seven different genders because there's not.
Right.
And you have to start embracing the truth and fighting for the truth. If you don't do that, we lose. It's kind of like we've sort of soft shooed our way in the hopes that the middle in this country will give us what we want, which is to win elections, but that's not what the middle wants. Mm. The middle doesn't want a soft shoe. The middle wants the truth.
Right.
They want safety. They want to connect to the Christian values that they have. And we're losing on the Republican side because we're not strong enough.
I agree. And by the way, that happened on the church's side of the fence even before it happened to the Republicans. Unfortunately, it's now happened on both sides. And again, I go all the way back in time to when Christ walked the earth, and you can read story after story to what you just said, Steve, is exactly what was happening even in biblical times. People were hungry. They wanted the truth. They didn't want something watered down and washed up. Yeah, there are those out there that get offended by the truth. Well, you know what? So be it. There's an old saying, sometimes the truth hurts. Oh, well.
Yeah, I know. And when you think about it, when you really think about it, guys like David fighting Goliath and you know, Saul and the different people who fought battles, Daniel, Aaron, right. Moses. You know what it really comes down to is they were fighting evil. And, you know, it's not all about religion. It's about right and wrong.
Right.
And religion is a good moral founding for that. But
right.
in reality, they were fighting evil. If you pacify yourself.
Nope, we lost Steve. Tell you what, we'll get him back. Charlie, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. That's about what I was going to do anyway, so we'll take Steve here just 1 minute. Michael Bailey, Law and Mobile Estate Planning is next. Anything you need when it comes to your estate plan, Michael is your guy. It's simple. It's easy. It's a phone call. He'll do the rest, and it's not that expensive. Just go to klzradio.com. Call 720-394-6887.
Michael Bailey knows from personal experience why you prepare for the unexpected. You tend to think of yourself as bulletproof until something proves you wrong. For KLZ's mobile estate planner, that proof of his own mortality came when he was hit by a light rail train. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law lays out a specific strategy for your assets so you know what the future holds, whether you get hit by a train or not. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Decline to sign. Keep Colorado Initiative 25 LEAP off the ballot. Petitioners are in front of your grocery store asking for your signature on the LEAP initiative, which would raise marijuana taxes for a big new bureaucracy for the children. Just say no. Kim Munson here. Friday, researcher and author Patty Kurgan connects many of the dots of the LEAP narrative. Small business entrepreneur Al Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, shares the latest regarding small business in Colorado. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I think Steve must have gone into a big dead hole driving someplace. No problem. We'll get him on as soon as we can. And his comments about how we just don't fight anymore like we once did. Folks, true statement. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to, you know, how do I want to frame this? I think at one point in time, even the church got to the point where it was such hellfire, brimstone. Everybody was tired of hearing it. They were tired of hearing really the quote unquote fighting, if you would, that in a way, and Charlie, you know, give me a nod if I'm thinking correctly or not. But I think because of that, they went so far the other way and wanted to be so palatable, maybe is the right word to use, that we as, you know, Christians and churches lost a lot of that fight, quote unquote, because we wanted to be more accepted in mainstream America. That's my own thought process, folks. I could be completely wrong in that, but I really feel like, and I've said this numerous times, and I'll continue to say it, a lot of what happens in this country is driven by what happens in the church. And when it comes to where we're at as conservatives, politically speaking, a lot of that was driven by the church. And what I mean by that is, you know, for ages. In fact, when I was a kid, and Charlie will attest to this, being involved in politics and inside the church at the same time was almost taboo. You know, you were supposed to be a Christian and stay out of politics. Let the politicians do their thing. Let the business guys do their thing. And as Christians, you do your thing. Yeah, Charlie just said in my ear, you didn't even talk about politics in the church when he and I were kids. And I know that that's part of what drove some of what we have going on today in America, in politics. We took not only politics out of the church, but when we did that, we took the church out of politics. And we wonder why we now have, and Steve said it a moment ago, you know, 7, 10, 100 plus genders, which there's only two, but we've got people out there thinking there's more than that. You know, we have got things so screwed up, so backwards, if you would, And I blame a lot of that on the church. We did not stand up, and I say we collectively. There's no one particular denomination, no one particular person, no one particular pastor that did that, but collectively we failed. And that's my own belief system. Steve, I don't know if you heard any of what I just said a moment ago, but I really feel like, you know, when the church took politics out of it, we also took the church out of politics, and then we wonder why we are where we are today.
Yeah, if you got a moral problem, where do you go to find and adjudicate morality? And it's from the church, it's from the books that go with all of the major religions, and I think, you know, we've lost that. And I think for us, trying to be politically correct and not talk about God, well, look at what's going on with the left. I mean, Joe Biden is paying for abortions around the world. He's treating people so poorly relative to what the moral standards are, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Right, right. No, and by the way, what you just said is very true, that, you know, the church's number one mission should have been, and I still believe is, to be that moral compass, not just of a country, but of the world that is out there. That's our mandate. That's what Scripture says, and we've lost that. And folks listening, whether you're a Christian or not, the reality is you can see from a country that when we start to lose our moral compass, which we as a country, Steve, I think have been losing for the last, you know, 50-plus years, when we start to lose that moral compass, you can see what happens. It just goes hand in hand. And whether you're a Christian or not, it's the truth. It's what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, every other form of government besides, you know, a capitalist economy is a form of government where God's in the way. You know, socialism, communism,
right.
You know, you're fighting against the words that God, you know, of God that were taught to you when you were a child, if you went to church and if you understood what the basics of how this country was formed. All those other forms of government require that you get rid of God. And I think the Democratic Party is fighting against God right now. They're trying to tell you that you are weak if you believe in God, rather than letting the government and Joe Biden and his team tell you what you should do, including what we saw in that executive order, which was just insane.
Right. Well, there's a known fact, and maybe folks listening know this or don't know this, but really, Steve, at least for me, the definition always has been, you know, sin is anything that comes between you and God and or becomes a God replacement. And I think the way the Democrats are looking at this is, number one, they don't want you believing in God. They want you believing in them. They have become, quote unquote, the replacement for God. And so, you know, the way I look at that is, if that's you and that's your belief system, you, in fact, are, I believe, sinning when you place government in the place of God.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You can name three major places on this planet where someone else is doing it. China, Kim Jong-un in Korea, Vladimir Putin in Russia, and their human rights violations are legendary.
Yep.
And yet somehow we think it's okay to follow that pattern. That is really wrong. If we don't stand up as Republicans at the risk of losing every election and saying to people, look, there's right and wrong here, and we've gotten into a gray area, and it shouldn't be gray.
Right. Right. Yeah. To me, there is no gray. This is really pretty cut and dry. I know there's some gray areas out there and some fringe things, Steve, but that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the core. The core is black and white. And, you know, when it comes to certain things that we talk about, social issues especially, you know, abortion, gender, you know, homosexuality and the like. I mean, the reality is there is no gray area. It is cut and dried. It's black and white.
I know, and this vaccine is another. I think
I look at it as black and white as well.
It is black and white, but it's also a driving element beyond something we've seen recently. You know, maybe in our lifetime, even, where you've got this vaccine, which is not approved by the FDA, which actually isn't necessary for most people. And not only are they trying to coax you to take it, illegally coax you with safety stuff, they're pushing it. They're going to have to send people to your door. Why would you do that? We talked about this earlier in our emails this week. Why would someone be pushing this so hard when there's about 230 deaths a day? Yeah, nobody likes deaths, but in reality, there's 2,400 deaths a day in the U.S. from heart disease.
Right.
No one's pushing on fixing heart disease like this.
No.
Why are they pushing this thing when it's not approved? It's got side effects. Their strategies are crazy. They're spending billions of dollars to try to convince you to take an experimental vaccine and telling you you're wrong if you don't.
To me, it's Steve, crazy. there's you know, several things here going on, and it could be that they're all dovetailing into one another, and hear me out here. One, I do think this is a control issue, and it's a way for them as government to gain more control over our lives. If they can get people to do exactly what they want to do in your life versus what you want to do in your life, they've gained a leg up. So I think that's one factor of it. The other thing I often wonder is, you know, is there more to what happened in Wuhan than we know? In other words, do the powers that be, do the Faucis of the world know that this thing, you know, can mutate and turn into things that we don't even know about, and that's why they're trying to push this thing out so hard? Or thirdly, do they know that there's something controllable in the vaccine itself, and that's why they're trying to push it so hard? In other words, is it really the Wuhan virus that we're so worried about, or is it the vaccine itself that we should be more worried about? And I don't have the answer to that. The first one I do believe is correct. The second two, I don't know.
Well, I think it's fairly obvious that the Wuhan virus itself, for most people, 99.997% of the people, the Wuhan virus is less dangerous, less risky than the vaccine. Not purely based on numbers, but almost everybody who can survive this, at 99.997% of the people, especially the people that are under age 65, they're going to build up immunity naturally, which is going to be far better than the vaccine.
True.
It was proven in studies.
True.
So it's better for you to actually go through this. And there's plenty of treatments. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there now that they're not telling you about that work very well. So why the vaccine? Well, it produces a spike protein. What happens with that spike protein? I don't think anyone knows yet. We know that there's warnings about certain vaccines in Europe and other places with people getting Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disease. We know there's risk to pregnancy. Why is it so important that we all take this needle before it's FDA approved, given where we are with this pandemic, or I don't even think it's a pandemic anymore?
Then what you're really saying is we throw out the middle one because we, and I agree, we know the virus isn't worse than what it is because the data and just the people we know that get it, you know, can prove that, yourself included. So then that leads us to the power and the vaccine dovetailing into one another, and there is a ton of, well, at least as far as we know, Steve, unknowns with the vaccine, although there are those out there that would say that, no, there's a lot of the powers that be that know exactly what the vaccine is and does. They're just not willing to tell us. And I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, Steve. I don't wear a tinfoil hat, but it makes you wonder when it comes to this vaccine being pushed so hard on a populace that frankly has already reached herd immunity. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But the reality is we're already there. Why are we still pushing this so hard?
Yeah, and that's the most important question. And then what happens when you get down the road a little ways and you go, see, mRNA vaccines saved us, saved the world. We've got another one that's going to help you ward off something that hasn't hit you yet. And before you know it, do you know what's in this vaccine? Does anybody really know what's in this vaccine? I mean, it's not FDA approved. They haven't done all the paperwork on it. I worry a lot about us just getting used to getting vaccinated for stuff and having no idea what's in those vaccines. I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but when you can't make sense, basic sense of what they're saying, and most doctors, I should say it's not most doctors, some doctors will push this vaccine on you hard. Some of it may have to do with the bonus payments they get paid from Medicare, which is almost doubled what they make for getting people vaccinated on COVID right now. Why are they doubling the payment to doctors? I don't get that. You know, why are they pushing their patients so hard? And then the second thing is there's plenty of doctors out there who say it's just too risky at this point. You know, there's too many problems, too many adverse reactions, too many people getting hurt by it, 10 times more people in urgent cares because they've got vaccine reactions than there are because they have COVID. What doesn't the government? What isn't the government telling us, John?
I think that's the, you know, ultimately the million-dollar plus question. And Steve, I'm not sure that we'll ever really know those answers. You know, we may some, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, but I don't think we're going to know in the next year, year and a half to two. I mean, I think this is going to be something that we continue to learn and grow, and more things get leaked out. And you know, humans are really good about that. I will say that when something is not going the way it's supposed to. You know, humans have a really good way of sort of, you know, saying things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise say. And, you know, a listener called in and said, you know, follow the money. And I get that, too. I think that's a part of this as well. When you look at the drug companies and all the money that's there and so on. And yes, I agree with, you know, the follow the money to a certain extent. Although, Steve, you know, you can say follow the money, but you also have to look at the other, you know, power grabs and things that have gone on that have nothing to do with money, but strictly have to do with the government ending up more in our lives than they were prior.
Yeah. And then when you really think about this, John, the, you know, like Florida, for example, you know, Ron DeSantis is fighting back on this in Missouri. And, you know, I think this Delta variant, and, you know, we've seen average infections. They're not cases. That is a misnomer. It's not
right.
A case if you get a second test that's positive, or if you get a positive test and you're not sick. That's not a case. But the infection positivity stuff is rising into the 25,000 a day right now, but the death rate's still fairly low. In
right.
fact, it's 1% or less on a daily basis, which is the lowest it's ever been. Why? A, because we can treat it. B, people are figuring out how to survive it that don't need treatment. C, a lot of the people who have been vaccinated are older, so it's the younger people who are getting it. My take on that is, you know what, if the death rate among young people is still as low as it's been, them getting it and building up their own immunity to it is the best possible thing that could happen to us.
Yet we continue to see, at least I know I do, and I'm sure you do as well, it is daily. It's not almost daily. It's daily that I read an article somewhere, whether it's local, national, regional, talking about all of this, you know, Delta variant and the spikes of. And number one, Steve, I look at the data every single day. Unless there's just an individual small town or small city or small county that's having some spikes, overall, state by state and as a country, there's no spike. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a really, if there is a spike, it's a really small spike. And the death rate, the 7-day moving average on the death rate has continued to fall. It's in a very downward trend. And yet then you have, I happen to be in Michigan right now, there was a kid here last weekend, I think 13 years old, took his second vaccine, was dead in less than 24 hours. A very healthy young man.
Wow.
You know, the inflammation and the myocarditis. It's not like this is a surprise. There were plenty of people who knew that mRNA vaccines, the reason why they've never been used before is they cause inflammation. And inflammation is a bad thing.
Yeah, inflammation is bad. You know, for those that are listening real quick, and we talk about it a lot on Wednesdays, but you know, inflammation, and Steve, you know this, is, you know, the leading cause of cancer and all sorts of other problems we have in the body. Inflammation is our enemy. It's not our friend.
No, that's absolutely right. And so if you're going to introduce something that causes inflammation, especially at almost 300% of normal in young men, why are you still pushing it? Why are you still pushing it with pregnant women? Why have we seen zero adjustments in the vaccine strategy with regards to who gets it based on what we've seen with adverse events?
Great question.
Nothing. They keep with the same message over and over again.
Now that's a great question. And my other fear is, we go back to the governmental power thing, is, when I listen to people just in public talking about, the vaccine, quote unquote, and granted there's three and I get that, but when they start talking about vaccines in general, I'm just awestruck, Steve, at how much they're kneeling at the altar of vaccines as Americans, where I don't know that they would have done that, 2 years ago. In fact, I know they wouldn't have done it 2 years ago. Shows you how well they've brainwashed these people.
Well, yeah, I mean, Harris and Biden both said during debates that they wouldn't take the vaccine because they didn't trust Donald Trump. And now they're all over it, right?
I mean, right. It's all now they're going to go door to door to make sure you and I that, don't have it are going to get it.
Yeah, and then this whole thing with Gavi, which is this vaccine organization that's existed worldwide for, a decade or two. They're pushing COVAX, which is the new vaccine that's coming out. And it's like they are jumping up and down for this. And, yeah, there's a bunch of countries in the world who probably need a little bit more access to vaccines for people who really want it. But why do I have to take it? Why does John Rush have to take it? What are they so fixated on? If I choose to take the risk on a non-FDA-approved experimental vaccine,
right,
why does the government have such a big problem with that? Especially since they already survived COVID. What's their issue with that?
That is a great question.
I think it's a freedom killer.
You said earlier that, our own, antibodies and us, handling this on our own as, with our own bodies, especially those of us that are, young and able to do so. Great question, Steve. Other than, a power grab and a money grab, I don't have an answer to that because there's not one. There isn't common sense. There is no answer other than that, Steve.
I know, and they're in trouble right now. If you really look at the statistics, they're getting from 51.38% to 52.4% took them a long time in terms of people vaccinated.
Yep.
We went from 3 million, 4 million vaccines a day to 550,000 and falling. I think there's another thing at play, and we were talking about, churches earlier. I've been to a lot of churches in the last 2 years because of, the campaign,
right,
and I went to one again this weekend that I don't normally go to. And I think pastors are starting to push back. They're starting to realize that while they thought that they had to be politically correct to drive membership, it actually drove people away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're now starting to talk about the fight. And I heard that this weekend very clearly from a young Hispanic pastor saying, there is a battle to be fought.
Nice.
And God expects you to fight it. And the evil is rising. And it's not going to come and hit you right in the forehead. It's going to sneak up on you. And it's been sneaking up on us for a while. Mm. We've got to get back in this fight. And we've got to stand right in front of the middle unaffiliated voters and other people who we need to vote for us and stand there and say, guys, here's the truth. If you don't want to live with the truth, don't vote for me. But if you want the truth is there are moral things that matter. You know, we do not need to have transgendered athletes in female sports with male bodies. There are just some things, and I feel compassion for those folks, but, man, there's some things that you just don't do, and making it okay, it just isn't right.
I agree. All right, let's shift gears. We got about 3 minutes or so left with you, and I did want to cover this for just a moment. You sent me this article about his competition executive order when it comes to business. Talk about that for a moment, if you would. I haven't talked about it yet this week.
Yeah, it's basically, and I looked through the executive order, you know, in reasonable detail. Basically, he's got this executive order that's designed to prevent competition from putting people out of business. And in reality, that's what the design of competition is, right? I mean, if you're going to compete in a market and you're going to do well, then you should be able to be successful. But the way he's looking at it is, it reminds me so much of Ayn Rand's dog-eat-dog rule and Alice Shrugged, which basically said, if there's 8 people competing in the steel market and 1 is dominant and 7 are failing, you got to prop those 7 up and you got to penalize the one that's competing and winning.
Mm.
I mean, this is going to happen to you, right? It's going to happen to every business.
Right.
But John Rush's own business, right? If you're too successful at helping people, then they're going to say, you know what, John? You're doing your job too well, so we're going to charge you a tax on the resources you use because your competition is going out of business and people don't have jobs anymore. And this type of thing is exactly the kind of liberal socialist thing that they're going to put in play quietly while the vaccine controversy is going on. And we're all going to get hurt by it. Every single business will be hurt by this.
Yeah, that's the other fear that I've got is a lot of this posturing and things that are going on, even the thing we played with, you know, the news conference or the press release or, you know, the White House conference, I should say, with Jen Psaki talking about social media and so on. You often wonder, Steve, how many other things are going on? You know, are they using Donald Trump's playbook? In other words, they're doing that. They're pushing this. They're pushing that. They're talking about the vaccine all the while behind the scenes doing things like this executive order.
I know. And it's interesting because when you look at the sort of pattern of behavior, right, we've got too much unemployment being paid on a weekly basis. So many people haven't gone back to work. We have a brand new child credit going into play.
Yep.
People are going to get paid between $250 and $300 for their children to go to child care. Well, do you get the child care payment even if you don't work?
Right. How's that going to work?
I think you do.
I'm most likely going. Yeah, I think it's going to be no matter who. You know, if you've got kids, you're going to get it, period.
Right. So you're going to get the child care credit. And, you know, plenty of people struggle with that. But there's a problem there when you're paying people to stay home and paying you to take care of your own children. Why would you ever go to work?
Well, you wouldn't. And part of when, you know, I came into the show today and I was so really hyped up and mad about having to do jury duty today, Steve, and I realized jury duty is one of those things you do for your country and so on. But yet I'm looking at the amount of numbers of folks in Colorado that we have on unemployment that we're writing these checks to, and I'm thinking to myself, that room today was probably full of, and I could tell from most of the folks that were in there, at least half of that room were from working stiffs like myself, and I'm thinking to myself, why are we not doing jury selection out of the unemployed that we're writing checks to already? Why are we not going on that pool versus the one that we're drawing from, which is voter registration rolls?
I know. And as I told you, I was on a jury, a capital murder case, almost 3 weeks of my life in the middle of the most important quarter I had in business in decades. And I sat there in a courtroom and listened to testimony and couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
And, you know, I was happy to be a juror and do my job, but I have the same questions in my mind. Where is the balance?
There isn't.
We used to have capitalism by its very nature overlaid or, you know, laid on top of a strong moral spiritual base.
Right.
It gives you a balanced ecosystem.
That's right.
So, you know, on the capitalist side, you can be greedy. You can look to do things that maybe other people don't agree with. But the moral foundation of who you are is going to make you head in the right direction. We've lost that ecosystem. We've lost that balance.
Agree.
And if we don't get it back, we're going to push ourselves to a place nobody wants to be in America.
Steve, as always, it's a joy having you. I appreciate it very much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thanks, John.
Good stuff as always. And up next, Franktown Firearms. Folks, exercise that Second Amendment right today. FranktownFirearms.com or KLZRadio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Bruce Simmons, he is our reverse mortgage professor. You heard him today from 2:30 to 3. Anything you need when it comes to reverse mortgage, give Bruce a call today. It's really easy, 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Barbersfoods.com. That's with two S's, by the way, in the middle. Barbers with an S, foods with an S, .com. And folks, anything you need when it comes to your meat, your protein, they've got it all. Beef, bison, pork, you name it, it's all there. And if there's something that you notice on the website that's not there that you still want to, you know, buy and get, they can get that for you as well in most cases. So give them a call today or go to barbersfoods.com.
Barbers Foods proudly sells what they feel is the best bratwurst in the nation. Their bratwurst comes from Tim Beeler's fourth-generation pig farm in Iowa, where Tim grows non-GMO-fed Duroc pork, raised without using gestation, crates, or antibiotics. Check out the 5-ounce French-cut loin chops, natural hot dogs, baby back ribs, breakfast sausage links, and garlic pepper bacon at barbersfoods.com. If you're looking for great beef, Barbers Foods carries grain-fed Colorado Angus beef in steaks and burgers, and an assortment of Wagyu steaks from Dan Morgan's Wagyu Ranch. These all-natural, restaurant-quality steaks are some of the best you'll ever eat. You can pick up your order at the Denver warehouse near the National Western Center, or Barbers Foods can drop them off to any Denver metro area address. Go to barbersfoods.com and thank you for supporting the Colorado native farm family that owns Barbers Foods.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Recapping what we talked about there towards the end there with Steve House, be careful, all of you that are, you know, reading and watching and, you know, seeing the news and so on, when they start talking about, you know, spikes in COVID, you know, spikes because of the Delta variant. Folks, I have looked state by state by state. I have not looked down into each county because, frankly, the aggregate is still the same. If no state is having a spike and just some county is, again, not a big issue. You're going to read stories in some of these news articles where they talk about some obscure towns where there's, you know, possibly two ICU beds in it, where they're worried about a spike. And if those two ICU beds get full, okay, well, they'll shuttle them over to another town. You know, this is not a crisis like the left and the news media want you to think it is. So please, when you read these things and even hear people, you know, around the water cooler talking about the Delta variant, it's not a big deal. Every one of these viruses morphs into something else, and it's not uncommon to have us see what we're seeing right now. So two more hours coming your way. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for a movie, so don't forget that. Otherwise, hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.